making less money than the amateur athletes that they are covering, thanks to NIL deals. It's time for another episode of Grease in the Grease. Now here are your hosts, Mike, Willie, and Anders.
Welcome back to Grease in the Crease. One more time, as the saying goes. Sadly, this is our last episode of the season. So after today, it's going to be 5 months, 5.5 months before we grace you with our presence, as we didn't quite get our deal with Rob Reynolds and Ryan McElhenney to cover Wrexham on the podcast. So we couldn't make that deal happen. So the Wrexham pod's not going to happen. And we'll be on hiatus for the summer.
Sure, they already have like five of those.
Maybe if you got their names right, that would be.
Mean Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney?
yeah, that's probably a bad start if we're gonna try to latch onto that.
That's where my pitch went wrong.
The only thing colder than the beer is the game being played on ice. Here's another edition of Games and Growlers.
All right, well, we did have some pregame activities before we went to the national championship game. So I went ahead and tried the Stone Brewing Company's Delicious Citrus IPA, which was a 7.7% alcohol beverage. And boy, if you want a summer IPA, this one's for you. Super fruity. Not a whole lot of body to it. Not super hazy by any means either. But the citrus and fruit just stole the show on this one. So Stone Brewing, Delicious Citrus IPA. Willie, that would be right up your alley. So I recommend that one. But speaking of things stealing the show, how about the goaltending this past weekend in the Frozen Four, huh? We'll start out with the first game where we had another overtime game. This one with Denver University able to stifle Boston University after BU's fast start, getting up 1-0. But goaltender Matt Davis able to stop 33 of 34 shots, including 10 minutes being on the penalty kill, moving on to the national championship with another 2-1 victory for the Pioneers. Second game easily went the way of the Eagles of Boston College and somewhat of Michigan's fast start and furious finish to the games in terms of shots, but BC winning convincingly there 4-0. So the national championship game showcased number one Boston College and number one in Willie's heart, NCHC Denver. And it's Denver once again prevailing in a low scoring affair, winning 2-0 behind the shutout performance of MVP of the tournament, goaltender Matt Davis, earning Denver's record setting 10th national title, stopping 34 shots, all 34 shots. On goal, and then Denver's defense with a major assist blocking another 21 shots for the Pioneers, stopping that high-powered Boston College offense. Great atmosphere and a pretty packed arena. Petey, what do you think of our national championship experience?
Super fun event. It's not every day you can just go into your capital city of your hometown and go watch a NCAA tournament game, but super fun to watch a hockey game in shorts. The weather outside was beautiful. The action inside was fast and furious. The coolest thing was just seeing how well college hockey was represented as a whole. It's probably a slight exaggeration, but probably not far off. We figured we saw 75% of all colleges represented just in the stands from jerseys. Even for, peaking our teams, Boston College and Denver, they both had very good full student sections. It was loud when they were cheering. It was super fun. I mean, obviously a Minnesota team, I think with just a hometown advantage would have been fun, but I mean, it was a great atmosphere overall. Willie St. Cloud's Kristen Krull was basically like ran all the ceremonies and did a very good job at that. Just super cool, super fun event overall.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. It was fun just to see all the different supporting fans of different college hockey teams just buying tickets regardless of who's going to get there and just going and enjoying college hockey. So there's a lot of fun to see and a lot of fun to experience. So, but yeah, Denver winning their 10th national. I don't want to clomp on the trivia section here, Willie, if you have that going on this weekend, but Denver winning their 10th national championship. Can you guys tell me how many Frozen Four appearances it took them to get to number 10?
Frozen Fours or titles, title games?
Frozen Fours.
Because I know that was their 13th championship game. Just doing the like doing odds, I would say 21 Frozen Fours.
A little bit high.
I was going to say, I know the answer because we briefly discussed it. So I'll let Anders take the full guess.
Yeah.
We're going to say like 18, 19, something like that.
It was 19. So over 50% of the time, it works every time. Also, what works every time, I guess this season, was Willie. Major comeback in the Pick'em tournament. He ends up with 103. Anders with 91. I'm with 89. PD 82. So that's where we stand off on the Golden Shield. Or I don't even know where we call that thing.
Where's my trophy at?
It's still in my house behind me. I forgot to bring it with me. So we'll either get sent your way or I'll make a trip up there and do a song and dance and drop it off. And
perfect.
That's what happens when you don't show up.
True. I mean, I only have myself and my sinus infection to blame. So
fucking science.
Speedy delivery.
It's time to dig into the mailbag. Email us your questions at greaseandcreasepod@gmail.com or hit us up on X. X gon' give it to you. At greaseandcrease, hashtag mailbag. Game. What you heard
is what you hearing. What you hearing. Listen. All right, the mailbag will be put to bed soon, but still feel free to send your questions that we can unpack back in September when we all reconvene from our summery tans and whatnot. But otherwise, hit us up on X at Grease Increase or email us at greaseandcreasepod@gmail.com. Fairly light and hearted today, but the question was proposed during the National Championship game during the member from the Ottoman Empire, and Between plays and stoppage, there were alternating between the school bands playing and music playing. So you'd hear Bon Jovi, you'd hear the BC band play Ship It Up to Boston. The person from the Ottoman Empire suggested that for college hockey, there should be no music played over the loudspeaker of popular music, and it should be exclusive band music. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Yes, absolutely. Live band. And we're not talking St. Cloud State live band with guitars, but a sports band, having a sports band in the rink is a game changer. I'm fully in support of that.
Yeah. During the game itself, it seemed to be for every four breaks in the action, three of it would just be loudspeaker. Doom, 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 doom. And then the one time would be the band. Like the band didn't know when they should be playing because they're just going to play some loud ass shit on the speakers. So that sucked. Yes. Like do like we did in high school where we just did every other break. Each band just knew to play a song, even for however long it was before the puck dropped. Yes. Is that's the difference between the college and the pros these days. Cause there's not a whole lot of hell of a difference. The student section, college band. That's what makes college so much better than the pros. Let them play.
They always had a college band at the Final Five back in WCHA days. There was a band every year. That's the way you got to do
Michigan
it.
Tech never, that's because Michigan Tech never went. The only way their band went.
But if like Wisconsin was in it, Wisconsin always brought their band too.
Yeah.
Well, and both teams brought their band. This is that the rink just decided to play.
I'm going down. I'm yelling timber while the ref's trying to drop the puck, and it's like, could you even hear what's going on here? If there's any scrapple going on with the
bomb. I think Willie nailed it. As long as you have like a traditional college age band that plays, it's fine. All of a sudden, when you got a 50-year-old dude with a goatee and like a literally every section has like one instrument and a guy like pulling a bass guitar, like then you're kind of like losing me a little bit. But as long as it's college kids, college experience, like that's 100% every time for sure.
So 63 of 64 Division I college hockey teams bands is what you're saying, just not St. Cloud's.
Well, St. Cloud must have a band. Like they've got a band program.
I don't think they do.
At the university have a band program. They must have enough kids on campus to put together a band.
If they're not
probably,
at St. Cloud,
they not probably the do.
Games, they're not there.
But they also reached out to people like me who played trumpet in high school and be like, hey, that's what they should have done. Be like, hey, you want to get hammered and play trumpet for a little bit? I'd be like, sure, I could do that.
Ooh, let you drink.
Yeah. From my experience at St. Cloud State, it's just a dude sitting with his boombox with a Motley Crue, AC/DC, Guns N' Roses, and Skid Row CD player that just would play the hits during the games.
I've just been handed information from my producer that St. Cloud does indeed have a pet band. We just don't know where they are at hockey games all the time.
Or what they do. Where they play, we don't know.
If they have a pep band, but if you don't hear the pep band ever play, is this kind of like Tree Forest situation?
Does it actually play?
Well, perfect. Well, with that, good banter for a season. A lot of fun questions overall. Yeah, let's close out the mailbag. Back to you, Willie.
Close out the mailbag. So, a lot of fun was had. Talk to me about West 7th. What was the atmosphere like? On a scale of 2012 when it was 70 degrees and there was a million people down there to a random Thursday night, what was it like?
Thursday night being a 1 and 2012 being a 10, I would say that it was a solid 6.
Ooh, solid 6, that's good.
I agree.
Definitely, I guess we got there a little after 2 o'clock in the afternoon and we had trouble getting, there was no seats available in the couple bars that we went to, standing room only type of situation. That they had plenty of, it was nice enough, so they kept the garage doors open with the outdoor little, I don't know what you call a bar top, and you can set your beers on, so that's where we stood. But yes, plenty of Boston College fans in town. Obviously they're a little optimistic, so they bought their tickets early, because definitely Boston College was out in full force, as was UND, because like as Willie says, it's not a question of what they're doing, it's a question of where they're doing it at. So they're definitely watching hockey and drinking beer. So they're doing that downtown St. Paul as well. But no, places were packed. Obviously, they anticipated it from the bar level because the service was great as far as getting beers real quick. So they had it adequately staffed. Wasn't overly packed like it was back in our day. Of course, that was St. Patrick's Day weekend in St. Paul, so that's going to be a little bit different situation than just some random April day. But still, solid 6, I would say, and well represented down there.
That's good.
I would agree. Even parking, I parked like a block and a half away, and we had no problem getting walking to the stadium and stuff. It was perfect.
No parades.
Yeah, no parades. Well, I was in a lot. I wasn't on the street. Fuck you, Bemidji. Yeah.
Oh man. So my other question, because obviously Davis stole the show on TV, but in the rink, were those saves as insane as they appeared to be on television?
The one save where it was a easy one-time goal, what, and he just gets his glove out there, that from the, unfortunately for us, all of the action all game long, all the goals, all the saves were on the opposite side of the rink. So we sat in the end and everything happened on the other side. So like we saw the play happen, but we were all like, did he literally save that?
Yeah.
So we saw the replay and yes, it was pretty insane there. So yeah, the saves that we saw, unfortunately they're on the opposite side of the rink, but definitely stole the show and definitely, what was the main reason that Denver ended up winning. And you really can't question that because Boston College did just push really hard. But then the second thing, like I kind of mentioned in the Games of Growlers, was Denver's defense, not only with the block shots, but once they got that lead, they had five guys in the neutral zone every single breakout. Like, they were not anywhere close to the offensive blue line. They just sat back, waited for BC to push it, intercepted it, dumped it back in. Just clockwork. That's what happened.
And even what Minnesota tried to do last year and failed.
And like, failed.
That they were just layered. It was impressive.
Well, and even that amazing save was probably their only true, real, still good scoring chance. I mean, they really had no great shots beyond that. I mean, that was just still amazing. To the crowd just went crazy. That was awesome. Such a sweet save.
Yeah, it was right down in Denver's home crowd zone for what small of a home crowd, because Denver doesn't have a whole lot of fans because it's a private school in Denver. But yeah, their fan section was right down there, so they definitely had a heyday with that.
Yeah, it was wild. And then Denver's goals obviously were two pretty insane individual plays. One a little lucky, but yeah. I mean, still, yeah, you beat the goalie, hit the pipe, and it goes in. So well earned for them. The highlight maybe of the weekend for those of us not at the rink was the fact that we won $20 from Mike, because Michigan got
and his
3-seed bet lost. So I had a nice little Venmo addition to my account yesterday or the day before. It was pretty lovely. So
yeah, I'm not sure where to send Andrews, because I don't know if he's even on Venmo yet or not, or if I still got to send it to his beautiful wife or not. But I don't know. I gotta ask that.
Send it to Sarah, but don't tell Anders, and just tell her it's for her. So
buy yourself some Starbucks.
And then the message is, buy yourself something pretty with a winky face. And I'll be like,
we got a weird thing going.
I just have a couple other things to talk about early on off-season stuff. National championship contender Omaha has made a couple big splashes in the transfer portal already. Harrison Israels from Alaska Fairbanks, who's their leading scorer by far, is going to Omaha, as is Cruz Lucius from the University of Wisconsin. So they are bringing in a couple scorers to bolster their ranks in Omaha from a team that's pretty good.
Is Lucius the same Lucius from the Gophers? Yeah, so he's doing
dancing around.
He's a kid that's committed at like 10 and then never ended up going.
Yeah, Wisconsin has lost four players. Charlie Strammel or whatever his name is gone there. I'm not sure what's going on there, but they're losing some kids. So chances that Omaha starts the season in the top 10 next year. What do you think?
Yeah, the way that they finished this year, assuming they don't have a coaching change or some other players departing, or many, I guess I don't know what the roster was made of. I can't imagine they had too many seniors there, but if they're keeping on the core of their team and their coaching staff, and you're adding 3-4 really good players, that's all it takes.
Could be a Western power shift in the NCHC with Omaha and CC climbing the ranks and St. Cloud maybe dropping off, and now you got Arizona State coming. So we could have a real Western contingent going in college hockey again. Spread it out a little bit.
Love it.
I want one thing to look forward to next year. What's the big headline going to be next year from each of you? Mike, go.
Oh boy, of course, near and dear to my heart, the Gophers, as long as they can hold on to Snuggerud, they got one good import coming in. If you can get one more, I'm not sure what they're going to do with their goaltender situation. That'll be a big thing to see there. But Big Ten, just with the talent that they have, how much are they going to lose? How much are they going to get drafted? How much are they going to just lose in the transfer portal, but I think that we're going to maybe see a bounce back in the Western conferences. You already saw how many first round draft picks that the Eastern conferences had. I wonder how many of them are going to leave by this time next year, or not this time next year, but by the start of the season next year. So great bounce back by the Eastern conferences, but I'm going to look forward to the Western conferences holding on and maybe transferring a few of them over.
PD, what's your thing to look forward to next year?
It's a good question. I think I think it'll be kind of fun with Arizona State join the NCHC, and I think they'll get a real big dose of reality having to play real hockey just about every weekend. I mean, they'll probably try to have some cake puffs, but as we discussed, you know, when playing these cold weather teams and they get to go back to Arizona. I wonder how that's going to affect any transfer portal, you know, for the coming seasons from any star players that, you know, need to wear face masks when they're walking to class, where they can see any blonde and whatever brunette girl that they're looking for is just sitting there for you.
One, they've pulled some kids in the portal too already. There, they've got. Let me see here. I forget now, but they 4 or 5 kids, a couple honestly big name players from some universities are going out to Arizona State. So I think maybe the move to a conference is going to help them in recruiting and that kind of thing. Absolutely. So
yeah, that'll be maybe 2.0 on the thing to look at next year. That now that we have what now will be 5 teams that are not in conferences, what happens to them as things continue to evolve in terms of almost needing to win the tournament, conference tournament, to be able to get into a NCAA? Like, are they going to try to make a push to grab a Miami or something, or join a CCHA or something? Because they're all more or less out west. I think like 1 or 2 out east, but they're going to have to join conferences soon or form their own.
Yep, I would agree. Anders, what's your target?
Two things. One, to see if like these Eastern schools is just going to be a 1-year blip on the radar, or if like the BUBC have maybe figured it out. And if they figured it out like they did this year, they have kind of done about as good as anybody with the quote unquote like one and done type mentality. So you get bring in like Celebrini for a year and then he signs pro. And I think that's been their main drawback, because it's not like they've never had talent. Like, they've always had high-end talent, but they don't stay very long. So can they keep that talent to stay a little bit longer is one. And then I think two, it's like Big Ten hockey as a whole. Like, when you look at all the tweets from this weekend, national tournament, NCHC, like Big Ten still haven't won one yet, and they've had some of the best. Like Michigan the last handful of years, Minnesota has been really good. Like Michigan State's kind of got the thing turned around. Like, is this going to be the year that they finally actually do something and kind of break through? Or are they going to continue to keep showing up the Frozen Fours and not leaving with trophies?
And mine, you maybe guessed it. St. Cloud State missed the tournament this year for the first time in quite a while. They're going to be back next year because Rosa Ram, former Rosa Ram, Thor Buffum will be on campus. As you know, when there's a Rosa kid in the locker room, St. Cloud goes to the national tournament. It's clockwork. So it's going to happen again next year, and we got a streak going as long as he's here. And then Noah Ernest will come, and bam, you got another good 6 years here in Husky land that I'm looking forward to. So,
wow, just making the national tournament is what you're looking forward to. Good on you. Glad you had
that bar that low. You're going to win it once if you make it enough times, you know? It's just got to happen.
That Minnesota mediocrity, you're just excited to be at the dance. You don't care what happens once you're there.
Well, speaking of Minnesota mediocrity, that brings us to our trivia. So, PD, hit me with my music.
Get out your thinking caps.
That is correct.
It's time for trivia.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
All right, gentlemen. So, PD segued us in here to Minnesota mediocrity. This year in the national championship game, there was not a team from Minnesota, obviously. Can you tell me when the last time that happened? The last year when there wasn't a Minnesota team in the national championship?
In the national championship or national or Frozen Four?
Well, it would have been the exact same year that those two things happened.
And not in the COVID year.
The COVID year doesn't count because nobody was there.
But that would have been
like 16, 15?
Correct. 2016 was the last time. Yeah. North Dakota won it, and there was no Minnesota team in either the Frozen Four or the national championship. The end of the year poll this year, the University of Minnesota is the highest ranked Minnesota team at number 7. Can you tell me the last year that the highest ranked Minnesota team was lower than that? Ranked lower. Sorry, well, ranked higher. So 8 to 20 there. I don't want to confuse you in my parlance, but what I'm saying is, when's the last time that best Minnesota team was worse than Minnesota this year?
Let's say 2014.
Longer ago than that.
Still have no idea what question you're trying to ask here.
2008. Oh. I get it. Yeah.
2010 was the last time there wasn't a team ranked higher than number 7 in the polls from Minnesota as the best Minnesota option.
And the final poll. Yeah.
And Mike alluded to this a little bit, and Anders did too. So since the NCHC became a conference, they have now won 6 national championships out of the 11 years or so. Can you tell me what conference besides the NCHC has the most championships in that span?
How many years are you talking?
I think the 11. NCHC has at least one.
11 years. Which conference has the most?
In that same amount of time. Oh, probably ECAC.
That is correct. How many do they have?
One, 2, 3.
That is correct. Can you name the teams?
Be Union, Harvard, Yale, and Quinnipiac.
Correct.
Correct. I can nail it.
So those two conferences have 9 of the 11 titles, and I think Hockey East has another one in there because Providence won it. I'm not sure who the other one would have been.
UMass?
Yeah, UMass. So that they have 2. So those three have won it. So the big question is, Minnesota College Hockey had, frankly, a down year this year, if we're being perfectly blunt. Is that a blip or is that a sign of something to come?
You almost got to think it's a blip Sandlin's got to be able to turn things around. St. Cloud State's got to be able to turn around. Moscow has a good thing going, regardless of whether or not they got to the Frozen Four or not. Mankato, big question mark. Bemidji, they had a great year. They are a good year for the conference that they're in. Almost just one game away from making the tournament and maybe having a different narrative on Minnesota hockey. But I'd say they're not that far off from being right back to where they historically were. I would say it's a blip. Might be one more year of that. I mean, ebbs and flows happen all the time.
PD, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota will always be up there. I think they keep getting recruiting classes. I mean, Duluth, they lost, you know, their top scorer left this year he signed his pro contract with the Blackhawks. You know, they lost 3 guys to injury last year. I mean, if they all come back or if they transfer out, I mean, they could be in for a rough one. St. Cloud's always up there regardless of what they are. I think Minnesota will probably still be up there and we'll just kind of have to see where it goes after that. In a couple of years, I think we'll be back to having 2 to 3 perennial teams to be able to make a run into the Frozen Four.
Maybe I'm a Debbie Downer, but if I had to buy stock in Minnesota hockey teams, I don't think I would. Like, when you look at what Mankato did over the last 5 years, that was an anomaly. They're never that team. Like, Hastings came in and got something going, and he basically is taking that with him when he left. Bemidji is the same Bemidji that they've always been. They'll have a decent year like they had this year, and next year they'll lose 30 games. Who knows? Duluth is kind of a wild card. Like, it seems like when no one expects anything from them, like, they went on a crazy run. But before they went on that crazy run, they had a good 10-year chunk of nothing before they went between, like, their 2 titles. And Minnesota is who Minnesota is going to be. They're going to go to the Frozen Four, like, once every 4 or 5 years or so. They're going to lose, and then nothing else is going to happen. So, like, I don't know. Unless you get a Hastingsy type person that comes in and establishes something somewhere. And St. Cloud being St. Cloud, like, again, could they make the tournament? Sure. But no one's going to be surprised if they miss the tournament next year. And then all of a sudden, those are a couple bad years in a row for Larson. And, you know, is that momentum too much to kind of stabilize a little bit, where if you got the weight on your front skis, you're going to fall over? So I don't know. I'm not super, super. I would be worried, I guess I'll put it that way, if I was a Minnesota fan.
I'm with you too. I agree. Worried about St. Cloud. Worried about Duluth. Duluth might be in the realm of another, like, dark period there. I just don't see them pulling out of that. Bemidji, Mankato, agree with that. The Converse is down there. This could be some rough times here for Minnesota college hockey outside of the metro. Yeah, what's up, Mike?
I was just gonna say, what do you think happens, that St. Cloud reaches another Frozen Four, or they fire Larson?
What happens first?
Yep.
God, that's tough.
Know the answer.
No,
I don't want to say it.
Here's the thing, because I still have some hope, because Isaac Posh came on at the end of the year. He's going to be a very good goalie. If he can stick around for a couple of years and you get goaltending like that, you can go places. They've got some big name recruits coming in. They have some of the highest draft picks they've ever had that Larson has recruited. So my optimism is making me say it's more likely they make a Frozen Four, but I could certainly see them have another 2-3 years like this where they miss the tournament and he's out of a job.
Right. Yeah. There's the fuse is so short before it goes off these days that if you haven't done anything for me in Anders' time frame, which is like the last 12 seconds, you're fired. So,
but I don't know at St. Cloud. I think he's got a pretty long leash, given he got to a national title game. He's had some big success, and St. Cloud knows it's not the U. So I don't think they're going to pull. They wouldn't fire as quickly as the U or North Dakota or Denver. I mean, shit, Brad Berry's only won one national tournament game since he won the tournament, and they haven't fired him yet. So,
well, especially if there's a buyout clause, St. Cloud State can't afford that shit.
Yeah. We're tearing down buildings as it is. Well, all right, folks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with us all year. We'll catch you in October. And as always, go Rams.
Go Rams.
Iowa's apparently.